Every single day I feel
the Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed. Yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. Another great guest for you. We're going to find out the ingredients that have gone into making Dr. Christina Talhami. She's in the building today. Well, in some building, not my building, but she's here to share with you today. And let me just tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Christina is a doctor of pharmacy, certified functional medicine specialist, certified integrative health practitioner, and host of the No BS Health podcast, and the creator behind Dr. Christina Talhami.com and the Instagram, if you want to check her out, at Dr. with a period after the doctor, the DR, Christina Talhami. As the founder and CEO of Top Health Solutions, LLC, she has worked with various young women struggling with digestive issues, hormonal imbalance, acne, weight loss, and many other things. She's here to share with you today. Dr. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. What a beautiful intro. I loved that. Also, love your intro music. That is a vibe.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I was going through this thing called Artlist IO, and I was just looking for music, and most of them sucked. And then I hit that one, and it's a guy named TJ Hickey. And I was like, holy cow, this is it. You just know sometimes, right? And so thank you for that. And by the way, the intro wasn't me. It was all you. Somebody provided this information to me. I just read it. So thank you. But we got to start the show off the right way, Dr. Christina. And that's with the question that's written on the wall behind me. What are you made of?
You know, I was thinking about this question, honestly, and I truly believe that I am made of love and authenticity. I think being, you know, an entrepreneur, but doing what I do specifically and working with so many different women, you have to have a lot of love and you have to love what you do, because truly the things that I hear, see, people confiding in you, people who aren't feeling their best, you really have to love what you do and you have to truly have love for others in that process. And I just know that a lot of people come to me because I am so authentic. I don't, you know, that's why my podcast is called No BS Health, No Bullshit. I'm 100% authentically myself. I never bullshit anybody. I don't bullshit my clients. And yeah, so I think I'm made of love and authenticity.
I love it. I love it. All right. So, you know, the love thing too, we need more of that in this world. You know, like, you know, I want to learn more about what you, you know, what makes you up and where you came from and everything. But like right now I think about this a lot because I just love people. I have an unconditional love for people. I live by this. Even people that are doing bad things and wrong things, I'm not the most perfect human being in the world. And I'm better now than I've ever been. But I look back sometimes and I'm like, man, I'm just hoping people didn't judge me for the stupid stuff I did because I didn't mean to. I just didn't know any better. And now we're dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, in the news and government and stuff. And it's dividing us and it sucks because I just love people. I don't care where they're from, what their background is and everything. And I just think, you know, it sucks that our governments aren't built in with love too.
No, 100%. And we talked about this before you hit record, but I think a lot of people think I'm so judgy because of what I do and how I'm trying to heal people and I'll be upfront with everything going on in their life. However, I never judge anyone because I grew up being judged all the time. I grew up with so much doubt and I didn't have a lot of confidence that I do have today. So I never want to make someone else feel that way. Because again, like you said, the world is so divisive. I don't understand why we have to pick on every single thing that someone doesn't agree with you. I just don't really understand why can't we just all get along and like each other? Like you, I love people. I'm an extrovert. I thrive meeting people. I love my job because I get to connect with so many people that I wouldn't have connected with, you know, working virtually. I can meet so many different people from across the nation. So I don't understand where this judgment comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like this insecurity people have, they want to belong. And you know what else I think? I don't know why we're going down this road, but we're going to go down it. I think that sometimes like people have these belief systems that they've developed and then it becomes part of their personality. And then when somebody says something other than that, it's attacking their personality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
And so then they get real defensive because of it. And it's like, oh, just let that down, you know? So I want to ask you on a doctor note, becoming a doctor and with your background too, and mine as well. It seems like our parents sometimes push us into something like you got to be this, this, and this. Becoming a doctor, did you ever feel pressure to become a doctor and go down that route? Or was it something totally on your own self-determinism?
Yeah, it's crazy that you say that because actually, no. I am I wanted to be a, actually, I didn't even want to go to pharmacy school. I should tell you this right now. I did not want to go. I was a chem major. I loved chem. Chemistry, organic chemistry. I got 100% in O-Chem. Truly. I always got like, I loved doing
that. And let's let her brag on yourself a little bit here. Let's go.
Chemistry was my thing. I hated bio, but I loved chemistry. But when you are a chem major, the only route really to take, quote unquote, is either med school or pharmacy school. With med school, it's 4 years plus residency. But with pharmacy school, you actually don't need residency. So in my mind, I said, wow, pharmacy school just seems easier. Like, I'll still make six figures. I'm good, right? Because when you're at that age, you don't really think about, oh my God, am I going to love my job? It's how am I going to make the most money?
Right.
So I decided to go to pharmacy school, but you know, I had actually already found functional medicine and found my healing journey. And throughout that time of applying, I told my mom and I cried to her and I said, I don't want to go. I really, really don't want to go. I want to be an influencer. Yes. I told my mom I wanted to be an influencer. I told her that I just want to help people heal their bodies naturally. And she said, honey, you don't know what you're doing, right? Like, go to school. You're not going to regret it. Learn about medications, get your doctorate, and then figure it out from there. So I remember crying. I hated school. But I mean, technically, my parents never forced me to do it. However, my mom told me that it would be a better idea if I do actually finish school and you won't regret it. And here I am. I don't regret it. And here I am technically an influencer. But we were talking about this. I don't like to consider myself that. But yeah. I feel like looking back before I started school, I'm exactly where I wanted to be before I started.
So with that being said, why do you think there's this thing that you have? Because I think a lot of people have this where they're like, I want to be an influencer. But then you get there and you're an influencer and you're like, well, I don't really want to be an influencer. I don't really care about this and that. Like, what do you think there is like that you have to feel like that disclaimer's got to be put out there? Because I feel that if you grasp it and then like really embrace it and lean into it unapologetically, it'll take you to another level.
Well, I think a lot of, I mean, I don't know if you follow, I mean, I follow TikTok and social media, but I think a lot of influencers right now are like, I don't like to do this because it's not fulfilling. They're just doing sponsorships and paid ads and you're being really fake. Most influencers are fake. They're all doing the same thing, the little tap, tap on the can. And it's like, get ready with me. None of that is fulfilling. If you noticed, a lot of influencers are actually trying to get real jobs or go back to school because they don't feel fulfilled. And so I feel like you have to really, really like what you're doing and you have to feel fulfilled. I mean, like we're talking about too, I personally have an entire job. I don't really care to be an influencer. I love influencing people, but I truly love what I do and I love making an impact on people. So I just have to remind myself, what is my purpose? And my purpose is to make people feel better and make an influence in their lives, and obviously, hopefully, have them live their healthiest life they've ever lived.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. So I get it. And influencing is kind of being a leader too, right? And I think that you have those qualities, so that's good. All right, so talking about pharmacy school and being in the, you know, the pharmacy world, I want to tiptoe into this, but then we'll go deep. So my grandmother was, I grew up around a lot of brokenness. And there was a lot of depression and anxiety. And the quickest thing for a lot of doctors to do is to subscribe something and then off to the races. And then, you know, my grandmother thought one pill works. Two pills must be the greatest thing in the world. And then eventually she was bouncing around to different doctors and they weren't communicating and all this. And she ended up dying of an overdose. Okay. So I love that you're in functional and you're doing the preventatives part. So can you take us through your thought process on that and the conflict of interest when it comes to the capitalistic society that we live in and that conflict of interest that lies there, right? Because if we can heal people without, you know, pharmaceuticals, then that the money goes down, right? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to start this off by saying I'm not anti-conventional medicine, right? Let's say you need a severe surgery. Let's say, you know, something severe happens, you get in a car accident. We have conventional medicine for a reason. We have medications for a reason. My issue with it is it being overprescribed. If you see a doctor for acne, for example, they're going to send you to a dermatologist. They're going to prescribe spironolactone or Accutane or antibiotics, right? Without actually getting to the root cause of it. So that's where my problem lies. Another thing is each And what we learn in pharmacy school, I honestly think this is crazy, but in conventional medicine schooling, you learn each system separately. You have the GI class, then you have, you know, pulmonology class, and then you have the nutrition, which is barely any nutrition. It's like an hour worth of nutrition. All the nutrition info is completely outdated. And you have diabetes. So you have everything separately. You don't actually look at the entire body as a whole. The entire body is connected. There's a root cause to every issue. So personally, I wish, I mean, they're not going to learn this because, again, like you said, it is a money-making scheme. Unfortunately, they're going to make money when you are picking up your prescriptions. It's scary. I worked at CVS, and it was probably one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. And it's honestly exactly why I decided to quit. You know, I quit my job in the middle of school to pursue my business and put my all into it. But I just really want people to understand there's always a root cause. If you start having cystic acne, there's a root cause to that. Let's look at your diet, your nutrition, your gut health, you know, your sleep, your stress. Stress is the number one thing that are killing people, truly. People don't want to look at their stress, but stress is the number one killer, in my opinion, on every health issue. So I, first off, again, want to say, like, not anti-conventional medicine, but my issue is that we're not actually getting to the root cause of all of these health issues. There's always a root cause. Instead, these doctors just want to prescribe a pill. I worked at geriatrics clinics, diabetes clinics. If someone's medication, let's say they're on a diabetes medication, if their blood glucose isn't lowered, the doctor immediately doesn't ask about their diet, doesn't ask anything. They're going to add a new medication to lower their blood glucose. When in reality, their blood glucose isn't elevated because they need another medication, because they're lacking that other medication. It's because of something else, most likely their nutrition.
And do you think that there's an ethics issue when doctors just go the easy route?
I think it's just the way that we're taught, to be completely honest, because how you are taught is there's a first line, second line, third line. If your blood glucose is XYZ, first line medication is this, second line is this. So that's actually how they're taught. I think they're going into it without seeing anything else. I mean, for me, when I was in school, I was taking all of these courses and listening to podcasts. I had no social life. I was out here trying to figure out, this is not right. You know, I knew going into school, I would fight with my professors. I would send them articles and, you know, they would just tell me I'm stupid or that I'm wrong. And so I felt very isolated in school, but I really do believe that it's just because they're going into it blindly. It's just what we're taught. We're taught things by the book. And when you do your exams, everything is by the book. It's not like you can put your own ideas or intuition into your exams, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do you consider yourself a disruptor?
Yeah, probably. I mean, my professors did not like me. One of my rotation, we did hospital rotations. I did an ICU rotation, and the person that was in charge, my preceptor, was my professor. He literally told me I needed to calm down. I was too much, and would like pry into my life, asking me what I'm doing after school. And I would bring a can of sardines to class. My professors would be like, "Ew, what are you eating?" And like everyone else would be ordering McDonald's. Like I just was the outsider. But I always say, look at me now, you know?
Yeah. 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 I love it. Well, you know, I love being a disruptor. I found out that the best part in life is to find out who you are with your non-negotiables, your standards, your core values, and a mission, and lean into it unapologetically. That's what that one is all about. Right. And so I love that you've taken that route. Take us back now. Everybody's got a story. Take us back as far back as you want to go. And I know you said you have a Palestinian background. Take us back. Like, were you born in the United States? Or?
I was, but my parents were born in the Middle East. So we are Palestinian Christians. Obviously, with the whole thing that's going on with the world, I don't want to bring that up, but it's obviously very tough.
You can share whatever you want on here, by the way.
I mean, so. Pro-Palestine is all I'm going to say. I've seen what my parents have gone through. I actually have a lot of family that do live in Israel right now. My mom's side of family's in Jordan. So my dad's side's in Israel. But my parents left their entire family. They left everything for us to have a life here. You know, we don't really have a lot of family in America. Everyone else is back home in Israel and Jordan. Like, again, my parents, you know, don't see their family. Maybe they see them once every few years. So I always just thank them so much for giving us this life, because I cannot imagine myself living there at all, like truly. So I have three siblings, born and raised actually in Oakland, California. And I don't know what else to go when it comes
No, that's fine. And the thing is that, you know, nowadays, if you say, I'm pro-Palestine or you know, it like people, that it's so crazy. They'll say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Like, no, that's not true. That's not true. Because I know that you're the type of person that loves people. And it doesn't matter. It's the governments that are like jamming us up. And then I don't know who's running those and all that. And that's the problem.
I tell people, the media is not telling you the truth about everything. Like I know what's going on there. My family knows what's going on there. My parents, and I actually grew up watching Arabic news. So I speak a little Arabic. I'm not fluent. But my parents wouldn't watch English news. And even right now, everything's the Al Jazeera. And you could actually watch the Al Jazeera news in English. If you guys are curious, you don't need to watch it in Arabic. But my parents only have Arab news on. Like, I hear Arab things. You know, my parents will watch Arab things on their phone, Arab TV shows. I grew up just watching the whole Arabic channels.
Yeah.
So I just tell people, like, don't trust me. It's the same thing with COVID, which we can get into. But just don't trust everything out there, you know?
Well, I had a fellow on my show. And he was in the military, and he was in Israel prior to the events that took place this past fall. And he's like, we knew this was going to happen. And I'm like, well, really? And it's like, it's just so frustrating. But you know what? There's a game that's being played for all of us, or we have the opportunity to play a game, and whatever's put in front of us, sometimes we can't control things. So my philosophy is, I'm going to win the game that's put in front of me. I can't control it, but I'm going to win it by being the person that I am. And I think that's the way you're operating too, which is like phenomenal. I love it. So I just want to commend you for that. And then, so growing up in California, take us through that as a, you know, as a little girl, like what was it like? And then take us to wherever you want to go. But I just want to hear, like, you know, the ingredients that went into making you.
Yeah. I mean, I had a really rough childhood. I was bullied. I felt like I had no friends. I lacked a lot of self-confidence. I always felt like something was wrong with me. You know, I never had a boyfriend. Like, all my friends would have so many boyfriends. And I always was like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I, you know, had a lot of insecurities. And a lot of that stemmed from being bullied in middle school. And FormSpring was a big thing. It would be like this anonymous page, and everyone would just basically call me fat, ugly, you know, all these horrible things. So I feel like that was basically a root cause of a lot of my issues growing up. But I also had a lot of gut issues. I had no period for 8 years. I think that's why a lot of women come to me with amenorrhea. So I lacked a period for 8 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. So
what age were you? What age was that? Like,
I literally got one period at 13 and didn't have it for 8 years.
Okay. So in your teen years. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, going to college, joining a sorority, I went to San Diego State. It is a very big party school. Everyone is beautiful. I developed an eating disorder, lived in my sorority house for 2 years. So I basically was always down here, you know, mentally, physically, lacked energy, had chronic gut issues, period issues. And until I found functional medicine, that's really why I am doing what I do today. But until I found a functional medicine practitioner who looked at my diet, my lifestyle, you know, they're looking at my gut health. That was the number one thing. I was having chronic gut issues forever until I fixed that. I got my period back. I finally slept through the night. And it made me realize, you know, all these doctors were throwing all these meds at me this entire time. I would go to an OBGYN and she'd be like, oh, you need birth control. I'd go see a GI doctor. Here's a PPI for years. And when in reality, I didn't need any of that. I needed someone to look at my internal health. And obviously your mental health, I don't think a lot of people want to look at their mental health. If you are not mentally happy, you're not physically going to be healthy. A lot of my clients, they do the right diets. They do all the supplements, they do all of these tests, and they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on tons of practitioners. But then they're not mentally happy. They're in a shitty relationship. Their, you know, job is draining. They're not sleeping at all. They're just miserable in their daily life. And in reality, if you are not actually happy, you're physically not going to heal.
So which, yeah, and so
a long time to do that, because the mental part is so bad. Like, obviously I'm not perfect. I'm still self-conscious some days. We're all going to have those bad days, obviously, but it truly wasn't until I built that confidence and really took care of my mental health, my physical health drastically improved.
Yeah. What did they find was the main, was there a main thing that was keeping your period from happening and from gut health? Like, and that you stopped, and then all of a sudden it was like,
I went vegan, which no shame to anyone who does veganism, but for me that really made me lose a lot of hair, lacked a lot of energy. I lost a lot of weight. And obviously that wasn't helping me get my period back, but it also did cause a lot of my gut issues. And with my gut issues, I had candida overgrowth. I had SIBO. I had just an insane amount of bacterial overgrowth. So I wasn't making digestive enzymes. And so until I actually killed off a lot of that bad bacteria, reset my gut, worked on my gut health, ate animal meat, gained the healthy weight back, stopped over exercise. I was running 7 miles a day. I didn't take one day off for 4 years. Jeez. Can you imagine me running 7 miles a day? And today I don't do any cardio, but it's like, wow, my body was under a lot of stress. I wasn't eating. I was running a lot, and probably why I didn't feel my best.
So no cardio now?
I walk, but that's my only.
Okay, that's good. Good.
I mean, I walk 1,000 steps, but like I'm not doing like HIIT a lot of the time. I mean, that's just me. I weightlift. I think weightlifting is so underrated. I think a lot of women are scared, obviously, to do it, or they're scared to lift heavy. But like, I could bench press 40s. Okay, you can't see that. I can bench press 40s. I know, but people that's don't believe it.
I can bench press. I love it. I love it. So let me ask you though, sweating, is it important to get a good sweat in?
I think sweating doesn't need to come from your workouts, because I actually don't sweat at the gym, but I do have a personal, like one of those mini infrared saunas, and I sweat that way because sweating is important. We do need to detox, but I think a lot of people think that they need to be burning an insane amount of calories and dripping in sweat at the gym. But I don't really sweat easily in general. So I always opt for the sauna to get my sweat in.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love it. All right. So
but
now
men are different. So, you know, men can handle so much more stress than women can. Men, you guys lose weight like this because your hormones are changing every 24 hours. With women, our hormones are changing every 28 to 32 days. So men can do all the things that women can't, honestly.
Well, yeah. And also for men and women, I believe, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but like if you're on the cardio and you're doing high intensity things, cortisol can be produced too, right?
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. Well, it is in some form or fashion, but not like it's stress, right?
Yeah. So if your cortisol is already high and you're doing more stressful things like having coffee on an empty stomach, and then you're doing a crazy HIIT workout on an empty stomach, you are just spiking your cortisol even further. And then you're going to have that later afternoon crash. A lot of women are dealing with adrenal fatigue, and it's because they're pushing their bodies when it really doesn't need that extra push. But people want to lose weight. So they're like, okay, fasted workout, fasted cardio, more cardio, the more movement, the better. But sometimes more is not better. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such counterintuitive to what we've learned growing up and what we've been accustomed to. And you got to wake up at 4 a.m. if you're going to be successful and this and that. Let me tell you something. I wake up now when I'm ready to wake up, and I get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And I just came back from L.A. And this is a bad time. So I was out there. If I'm out there for 3 or 4 days, I can stay on the East Coast time. But when I'm out there for 7 days, it makes it more difficult. And then I get back, and then we had the hour time change. So this week, I have this thing, like it's programmed into me right now, and I'm aware of it, that damn, dude, why are you so sleepy? What, like, why are you sleeping in this and that? And then I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to do this and adjust back the right way. I'm not going to stress about it. And this is the way to live, folks. You got to take care of your body. You got to sleep, you know? So I want to shift focus now to, so Palestinian Christian, I know sometimes the majority are really conservative. Did you grow up in a conservative family?
No. You know, this is really... It's actually funny that you bring this up, because I obviously share a lot of my personal life on my social media. I think that's what makes me different than other health practitioners. I go out. I love music festivals. I still like to party. Not like crazy, but I do like to go out and have a social life. And a lot of times if I post myself at a festival, the comments will slide in and people will be like, wow, you are trash. Okay. There's a difference between showing my personal life and being trashy. So I'm very grateful my parents were never like that. However, I think if I were to do what I do and the way I dress, which I don't even dress super, you know, revealing or anything, but if I did dress the way I dressed over there, it would be completely different. But I'm very grateful my parents did really adjust to how things are, and they do not care what I do. They do not care what I wear. Even when people comment, you're trashy, I'm like, my parents totally are fine with me dressing this. I'll get DMs all the time because a lot of Arabs do follow me. Yeah. And they'd ask me, you know, are your parents okay with you dressing like that? Like you're wearing like a bikini. I'm like, a bikini, you know, like we're going to the pool. So I'm very grateful that I did not grow up super conservative, but I also don't consider myself as being the opposite of conservative. I think there's like a good middle ground, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So look at the way people dress here in general.
Yeah.
you know?
Well, and those people that are DMing you, they should just focus on themselves and get themselves to be the best version of themselves possible.
People in the functional medicine space are very conservative. A lot of them are, or a lot of them aren't sharing their true life things. I mean, I know so many practitioners, with social media practitioners in general, they do some crazy things behind the scenes, but they're never upfront about it. I know things, which is why I try to be super open about things that I do, you know, me drinking. I obviously talk about being smart with alcohol. I think there's better types of alcohol. Alcohol is not good for you, but like I'm 29 years old, so I'm not going to not have a cocktail once in a while.
Yeah.
So there's always a middle ground, but I also, don't trust everything you see on social media. Cause like, trust me, I know some crazy things other people do and they are not telling you.
100%. Here's the thing. What I found is this is a law, by the way. Those that reach out to other people to do that, or in person, if they're criticizing someone or shaming them, it's because they're redirecting off of their own things they feel bad about that they have in the closet. And anytime somebody does that, if you were to take the time that none of us really want to, and looked into their past or what they're doing right now and their skeletons in their closet, you always find something. So it's like, I never let that even affect me. It's like, I always know that it's something they're trying to redirect from. And then I'll ask them like, did you do something that you feel bad about? Or do you need some help? And then they shut up.
Yeah, I used to let a lot of that stuff get to me. But, I'd rather lose following of people who don't like me for me. Because I grew up with so many confidence issues. I always thought something was wrong with me. I was like, why don't I have friends? Why don't I have this? But it's because I wasn't confident in myself. So, when you are confident in yourself, now I have some of the best friends I've ever had. But growing up, I never felt like I even had one solid friend. So,
yeah,
you can't let people who are going to like you for you. And if they don't like you, F off.
Yep, exactly. That's the way I roll. All right, Dr. Christina. So right now, what is your focus? What do you focus on right now? And like when you wake up in the morning, what are you excited about?
I'm just excited to help people. Honestly, I mean, every day I will get a DM or an email from a client just saying how much they feel better. I've had clients, write me letters and mail them to me telling me that I help them finally get out of bed and go outside because their parents thought that they needed to get on antidepressants and all these medications. But working with me, they're finally able to go outside. There's a smile on their face. So genuinely, I get excited to help people. Honestly, one kind message goes such a long way for me. And the fact that I've helped so many women feel better, feel more confident, and just educating people, like that is truly what I get excited about. Honestly, like I seriously love my job so, so much. I think that is such an important thing to have. Cause if you don't like what you do, life is just miserable.
Yeah. And I really don't understand how people can live with themselves when they're overprescribing or not really getting to the root cause of things. So, that's awesome that you're doing that.
People want to do the hard work. Unfortunately, why are prescriptions, medications, you get results so quickly because they work like that. But when you get to the root cause and you do things holistically, it could take months to heal. Some people it could take years to heal. I mean, it took me going all in to heal my gut and my hormones 2 years to get a period. Imagine if I just quit a year in, I wouldn't have gotten my period. So I really do emphasize that to people. Like, you can't expect quick results. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, I mean, people's TikTok, you're scrolling, I mean, your attention span, it's not where it used to be. So I think it's the same thing with healing. People expect quick results, but it really does take time and patience. And a lot of people don't want to do the hard work. They really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Consistency. I put a post up the other day on my stories and I said, here's the secret. And then I just typed, it's over and over and over. And I just did it over and over and over and over again. And then keep going because that's what it takes. It's like boring old consistency on the right things. And before you know it, 3 months, 6 months, a year, like for you 2 years, you don't even recognize yourself. And that's the key. And so, I'm with you. I'm full alignment with this. All right. So now what would have to happen if I were able to snap my fingers and make it happen? What would have to happen here in the future for you? What's the vision that would really like light you up?
Honestly, I haven't really thought that far ahead. And I'm going to tell you why. I used to look at the future, look at the next day, look at a year from now. And it was like, I was in this constant state of anxiety of, oh my God, I wasn't living in the moment. And so right now, because I have been in school, I was in school for 28 years of my life, finished school at 27, took a year to study for my board exams. I really never felt like I got my life going until I was 28, because I was always like, oh my God, what's next? I need to pass my exams. I need to figure out my business. And right now, I really just want to live in the moment, and I want to continue to educate people. And I think I want to still do what I do. Obviously, I want to have a family, and I obviously, you know, want to have that side of things. But if there's just any way I can continue growing my page because I want to educate and help people, not because I want a following, that's all that matters. But I'm really trying to stay present in the moment, because with school, I was just in this constant state of stress, like, oh my God, I have a test next week and a test next month and my board exams and then this and then graduation. And I just felt like I was at so go, go, go that I've actually been trying to, in the last year of being finally study free, to be more present in the moment.
All right. All right. I'm with that. And now, you said you didn't have boyfriends in high school.
But I always felt like I never got to actually just live my life and be in the present and be in the present moment, because I always had something stressful to look up to or look forward to. And this is the first time in my life where, like, I don't have to study and I don't have to do all these things. I can just enjoy my life.
Yeah. 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 That's good. No, that's good. So you said you didn't have boyfriends in high school. Now that you got your stuff together, quote unquote, right, and you're holistically looking at your life and you got your diet right, and are you having trouble in the dating scene now?
I mean, dating is just awful. I did have a relationship basically all of pharmacy school. But you can't be with someone insecure. They put a lot of my confidence issues down the drain that I had, you know, took a long time to build back up. So I spent the last, I've been single for a couple of years now. And honestly, it's just been so nice to focus on me and do me. And also the dating pool is so terrible. So terrible. You think you have a good date and then they're just a terrible person. Or I get the ick immediately. And so, I'll go on dates here and there, but no one is worth my time. So if you are single at 29,
What is the ick? Can you explain that to the audience?
I think you just get a feeling. I know right away if I like someone or if I don't. Truly. I don't know what it is. I never understood those girls who hop from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend. I truly do not get it, because it could never be me. Like, I will know after one date if I'm like yes or no. And most of the time it's a no for me, and I'm like, sorry, like, I don't really want to hang out again, you know? So it's like, it's not even worth going on dates anymore, because I'd rather
don't give up
hanging out with my friends.
Yeah. Don't give up. Don't give up. I was talking to my wife about this. We were watching that show, Love is Blind.
I love that show. Yeah. I could never go on that. My brother went on FBoy Island.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just like, yeah.
So we're watching it and I'm like, yo, I hear all these people talking, because I've been 2001. I haven't had to deal with any of that. And there was no dating sites back then or anything. So I don't know what I would do now. And I don't plan to find out. But we were talking and I'm like, yeah, I hear everybody. And I was in LA and I was asking people, like, what's the dating? Like, what do you guys go through? And everybody says that same thing.
It's LA and SoCal in general, I think, is just the worst, because there are so many options. And obviously the people here are beautiful. And I also feel like there's a lot better options for men than there are for women, meaning that there are a lot more prettier girls and better girls out there than there are guys. Like, I think the dating pool is so bad here. Most people are meeting on apps, which is fine, but it's just annoying. Like,
yeah.
And then people are like, oh my God, go out. I mean, I go out, I'm a social butterfly. I go out all the time, and there's no one that I really care for. So,
I'd be willing to bet you $1 million though. Okay. I'd be willing to bet you $1 million that if you fight off that feeling of, oh, I'm just going to, you know, swear it off or whatever, but really, like, stop thinking that way. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying if you did, and then start really, like, writing down, like, what you're looking for and what happens. And, you know, I study neuroscience and I start to see this thing where if you set an intention, your intention follows that intention. And then you start to create, this is not just in dating, this is your whole life. You start to create your world, your own universe inside of this main universe, right? And I'd be willing to bet you $1 million if you followed that formula, intention, attention, and then create, all of a sudden you're going to find someone. Probably you're going to have a whole selection of these guys and you're like, where the hell were these guys? And they're right in front of you all along.
Okay.
I'm not a dating coach, by the way. I just cause and create futures for people.
I love this, honestly. No, I have made a list. I already know what I want. I know what I bring to the table. I know what I don't want. I think a lot of people who've never had one relationship, you really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I think it's really good to have had at least one relationship to really know what you like and don't like, because that one definitely taught me a lot of lessons and taught me to not settle, because I definitely was settling. Because again, I always thought something was wrong with me. So it's like when you found something, you want to hold on to it and never let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary to be single in this day and age, but you know, gotta
love doing your thing.
Be focused on you. The right person will come. You know, I'm not really stressing about it. I'm not stressing at all. I think it does make me a little bit nervous just because the dating pool is so bad, but that doesn't mean that they're not out there.
We're not saying that anymore. We're not saying that part anymore.
I always say my person is just not ready yet. Like they're still working on their themselves.
There you go. They're cooking.
We'll meet when the time is right.
Yeah, he's in the oven.
Yeah. He's cooking somewhere.
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, Dr. Christina, where can everybody engage with you? Like, where do you want to send them?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at dr.christinatelhami. My website, drchristinatelhami.com. I got some blog posts. You can subscribe to my newsletter, download my free grocery shopping list. You can work with me on there. I sell video lectures as well on there if you want to learn about protein, carbs, minerals, all the things. And I have a podcast, No BS Health Podcast, where I don't bullshit anything. So if you really want to hear the honest truth about health and wellness, dating, relationships, yes, I talk all about that too. Check out my podcast.
Awesome, guys. Go check out Dr. Christina Talhami. She was in the building today, in a building. Like I said, Dr. Christina, hold tight while I wrap this up. Guys, thank you so much for listening or watching, however you're consuming this content. I really appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe, like, do all the things. Check out Dr. Christina on Instagram and also go to my page, I'm not a doctor, at Mikey C Rock, and make sure you're engaging and following what we're doing. We're going to continue to bring you great guests, great info, so that you can be unstoppable to living the life of your dreams. And until next time, it's your boy C Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of Show.